We have a strong adversary, the devil, who wants to destroy our lives and separate us from God. But remember, he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world.
On the third time, the Lord came and stood as at other times. Now think of that. He got up, heard a voice that sounded like God. It was the priest. So there was some connection there, and that's what he was trained to do, serve that man at the other end of the hall. And yet, it says God stood as at other times. Imagine how often you and I do that. God's calling us. He's standing by our bed. We get up, and we just go off to work without even praying or having any time with him. How many times we just get up, and we run by him, and we go to a religious person or service, and we miss the Lord.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord.
You've joined us for the Monday edition of Chapter and Verse, the daily radio outreach from Mike McIntosh. God is calling each one of us to not only be a light to this lost world, but he's given each one of us the ability to be that light. Although our Heavenly Father must bring judgment upon this wicked and unbelieving planet, he is a Father of great love, and it breaks his heart to see his creation turn from him. As he calls out to us with his love and compassion, let's listen to that still small voice. Our text is the Gospel of Mark, but Mike has turned back to the Old Testament and the book of Job to glean further insight. Now let's join Mike for part two of our study, Calming the Storms in Our Lives.
Satan's down on the earth. He's full of wrath because his time is short. And anything that is in the image of God, you're seeing literally destroyed throughout the media. Anything that's good and wholesome, not on television, not in the movie theaters, not in the schools. It's all to destroy anything with the image of God. That's why the crosses are removed. That's why the Bibles are taken out. That's why there's no prayer. And that's why this has happened to us, because God's people have forgotten who it is they're worshiping. And just this handful of us gathering on Sunday nights with a heart full of fire to see God show his glory, and to give an opportunity for the lost to be saved and for the saved that are lost to come back to him. But it has to start somewhere. Wouldn't you want to be one of the people where it started? If it doesn't start with us, where is it going to start? It has to, or our country is gone completely. Completely. So Satan says, this is how it really is. Men only love you and go to church because you bless them. It's the thing to do. Now let's put it in the Muslim vernacular. If you're a man, and since you're a little boy, you went with your uncles and your father and your grandfather to the mosque 5 times every day with every male in your small town or large town. And you did that through your teenage years, and you did it through your college years, and you did it through your own business years. How brainwashed would you be, and how difficult would it be for you to look anywhere else? Because they're all captive to this belief, and this is what we all do. And yet, the body of Christ doesn't have that kind of a devotion. And we should, above all people in the world. We should have adoration for the King and show it, that we care about lost souls. And we care about the body of Christ being weak and feeble. But we need to see how it works. So God's showing us. Don't think he won't come and deceive you. The devil will come and wrap us up if we don't watch it. So Satan said, this is why he loves you, and he'll curse you to your face. And the Lord answered this, and he said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. What if God said that about you tonight? Every asset you have and family member is now in the power of Satan. Whoa, wouldn't it break your heart? And Only do not lay a hand on his person. You can't kill him. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. He's got the authority, but he had to get it from God. Now that word considered, when Job said this, or excuse me, when God said this, that word, as you know, the Old Testament is translated from the Hebrew language. The New Testament is translated from the Greek language. And the Hebrew word for considered is basically a military term. Those of you in the military would understand this and appreciate it. You see, it was what a general would do. He would use this word. He would consider how he's going to take over Tustin, California. So he is logistically going to get his brain trust around him. They're going to figure out every freeway and how they can shut those down, every major thoroughfare, how you can divide every part of the community up and how many people live in how many houses throughout here. How do you get water into Tustin, and we want to blow up every one of those pipes that come into Tustin? How does electricity come into Tustin? We want to take over every power station that brings any electricity. We want to shut down every store so there's no food. We want to close all gun shops and take all ammo and weapons away from the people. And now they are going to be crying out for somebody to come and save them. That's what the word consider means. How do you destroy a complete town or country? That's the word right there. And the frightening thing is that Satan said, didn't he miss a beat? Yes, of course I've considered this. He probably had a file, a dossier on everything about all of his children, his wife. Now, she was a very interesting woman, wasn't she? She says, why don't you just curse God and die? Every man needs a woman like that in his life. I mean, he knew that she had a sharp tongue. He could have turned her against her own husband instead of saying, drop to our knees and I will pray through this with you. Instead, she says, curse God and die. Well, that's not very spiritual, is it? But how many people do we have in our life that are around us that we allow, without even thinking, their influence that slowly pulls us away from falling in love with God? And we start thinking about other things, hobbies, vacations, whatever. The devil knows our weaknesses, and he has considered how to destroy you and the things that God has given you and the people that you love. So, this is important you understand this concept. This is how it works. Now, there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking, verse 13, wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were feeding beside them. When the Sabians, a group of people, raided them, took them away, and indeed they have killed all of your servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Now look at the lengths that the devil will go to destroy this man. This is just the first salvo, the first attack. He got a whole nation of people to turn against Job, the Sabians. So he had politicians already set up in there, his sons and his seed. The Bible says there's a seed of God and there's a seed of the devil. The devil has kids, and they're in there controlling, he says to the Sabians, hey, I'm going to make you really rich. I'm going to make some stock in the market go up really high. If you'll do this for me, I'll give you some insider trading. Gold and silver is going to go up like crazy. Buy all you can today at $10 a share. It's going to be $100 a share in a week. However he did it, he does it. And the love of money is the root of all evil. So you know it's got to do, when he comes after you, that it has to do with money somewhere along the line. So however he did it, he got a whole nation to come against one man, the Sabians. And they're a historical group of people. So they came, and this servant said, I'm the only one alive, sir. I'm really sorry to tell you this. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, now this is back to back at the same time, because he's still speaking, the first attack has come and the second attack is already unleashed. He says, while he's still speaking, another also came to him and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone am escaped to tell you. The fire of God? I wonder how many times we blame something on God and it's the devil. It's doing it. These poor people in Northern California, do you know the other day when the fire was just raging, it was 109 degrees Fahrenheit outside? And these people are wearing maybe up to 100 pounds of gear and marching up mountains and just exhausted, let alone dehydrated. 109 degrees. They've got these heavy jackets on and the helmets on, and they're swinging pickaxes and they're taking huge hoses and trying to move stuff around and spray it, and tractors to dig pits in dirt. Imagine that. Now, did God start that fire? That's how these people say it. This great fire of God fell from heaven. So we have to be careful and discern what's really going on around us and be sensitive, because it shows you when Satan is attacking the USA. And God gave his son, and his son said, I have come to bring life and life more abundantly. It's Satan that has come to rob and to steal and to destroy and to murder. He came to bring death and destruction. So when death and destruction are just going rampant, you should just say, oh, God, have mercy on us. So this is the second thing happens while he's talking. And when he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell. While he was still speaking, verse 17, another, the third wave now comes, came and said, the Chaldeans, now they're from Iraq, the Chaldeans formed three bands. They've come out of Iraq to attack Job. They raided the camels and they took them all away, thousands of them. They killed the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you this. His camels were taken? Wow, we just read he had 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels. They're all dead? Oh, my goodness. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and your daughters, I hate to tell you this, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are all dead. What a way to be told all your kids are dead after you've had all of your livestock, all of your real estate, every bit of asset you have totally destroyed. Your whole life work's gone. And now they're going to come tell you not one child just died, but all 10 of them, it says, and the kids. So were their grandchildren? But they're all destroyed. This is what Satan does. And so you think of this strong wind that came up in the Gospel of Mark. Come on. Jesus said, we're going over. I'm going to take a nap. We never see him resting in the Bible. I'm going to take a nap, and you guys just cruise. We're going over to the other side. And instead, the storm comes, and they don't have the faith to believe Jesus. And he's right there. So we don't want to be like that, do we? So now the kids are all dead. And then suddenly this great wind came. And then Job, at this, arose and tore his robe, shaved his beard, and he fell to the ground and he worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Isn't that amazing? Satan said, the minute you do something, he's going to curse you to your face. So he goes back to God. You know the rest of the story. He goes to him and says, hey, a man's flesh, you just touch his flesh. Give him a little back problem. Give him a little knee replacement. Give him a little migraine. Give him a little problem and their bodies, and he'll turn against you instantly. And so he said, okay, but you can't take his life. And he hit him with boils. Now think of this. Boils aren't any fun. They're painful. If you just have one, it's painful. But his whole body, top of his head, so he can't stand on his head to get relief. Stomach, legs, knees, he can't kneel down. He can't lay on his tummy. His sides and his back. He's covered with boils all over his body. He has no peace. And yet he never curses God. He made Satan a liar and a fool. And if you and I are righteous men and women because we're saved by the grace of God, we shouldn't let him make us look like a fool. We should resist the devil and he'll flee from us. He does not like strong men and women spiritually. And the minute he bumps into a spiritual, not a religious Christian, a real spiritual born-again man or woman, he leaves immediately and goes and looks for somebody that he can deceive that's weak in the faith. That's why the emphasis is for us to know the Word of God. We'll know God. And if we fall in love with the Word of God, we'll fall in love with God. But if it happens first that we fall in love with God, not that we first loved him, but he first loved us, well, if you love God, you're automatically going to love his word. And the same with prayer. If you fall in love with prayer, you'll fall madly in love with God. Or reverse it. When you fall in love with God, the natural thing is that you want to talk to him. But it has become a religious thing to do instead of a thanksgiving thing to do. It's something that's part of our religion, and that isn't what it is. It's a sign of your love for him. Do you pray? Do you read the word? Do you live according to the word? Are you praying just for yourself? Are you praying for God's will for yourself and what he wants done and interceding for other people? Or is it all about gimme, 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 gimme? Do this for me. Do that for you. Do this, do that. Instead of, Lord, I love you. And Jesus said in the word of God that if I would ask you, and you said two or more of us gathered together, and there's 100 of us here, and we're going to ask you, Lord, would you bring revival, starting right here with us, that we would weep and our hearts would break and we would confess our sins, and you would honor that and let the power of your Spirit be totally unleashed. And God can do it. And he will do it. I heard a man speak one night. He was 90. He was 88 when I met him. And he was living in the Hermosa Beach Salvation Army retirement home, he and his wife. And I said, I want you to move to San Diego. He was an intercessor prayer warrior. He was saved in 1905 in the Welch Revival at the age of 15 years old. I had read everything I could find on the Welch Revival when I first went to San Diego. And we started prayer meetings that had hundreds and hundreds of people, and the city just exploded. But when this man came on the scene, it was nothing for 350 or 450 people to accept the Lord at one time, week after week after week after week. And then he began teaching in our school of evangelism, and young men and women were becoming intercessors. And the Holy Spirit moved through the county of San Diego and is still moving through San Diego. This guy is 15 years old. You know when Evan Roberts and his brother were used of God? Now, Reverend Willis knew Evan, who was considered the leader, but he knew his brother more, that the Holy Spirit was so powerful that all brothels in Wales shut down, all pubs and alcohol stopped, every church building was full all day, all night, and the yards all around them full with hundreds of people weeping and crying day and night. And when Evan Roberts was invited to come and speak at a church, he said two conditions. The pastor said, what are they? Number one, I don't tell you when I'm coming. It has to be the Lord that moves me. Number two, you don't tell the people I'm coming, because we don't want people coming because they're going to have a show. We want God to bring them to your sanctuary. And there were times when the sanctuary like this, there wouldn't be room for anybody in Wales. And he would show up, and sometimes he would sit down and weep in the middle of the congregation. They didn't even know who he was, but they were all weeping and praising God because God's Spirit was so powerful and the people's hearts were right before God. Another time, he gets in this church and he sits down on a chair, and he never spoke at all for over 2.5 hours. He sat there and he cried and he confessed his sins, and then everybody else started confessing their sins and crying. And it was a true move of God. And Wales, of course, is known for its coal mines. And the Spirit would get these hard-hitting, hard-drinking, hard-fighting men underground, and they would come up on those elevators, and they would be weeping with all the coal over their face and tears running down, washing their faces and weeping and asking their wives for forgiveness. And God just moved over that whole nation, and it began to spread around the world. So we had that old guy in San Diego for quite some time, until he was 97. And he taught how to pray and intercede for revival and for evangelism. And it happened. It's interesting that at first, people don't know if they want to see this happen because it may change their schedules. It may. Something weird could happen to them. They may write a check they never even imagined writing there. They may go visit people in the hospital that they don't know and pray for them and see people get healed. You see, we like to be in charge. We like to hold on. We like to be us. And that isn't what the Bible says. We should pick up our cross daily and follow after Jesus. If you're truly my disciple, indeed, Jesus said, then continue in my word. So here is this picture. You now know there's a spiritual war going on against the human race. And if God could pick out the most righteous man at the time, like he did with Noah, Satan's willing to take him apart. And isn't it interesting when you read about Noah and his wife, Joan of Arc, that they and their three sons married, the three sons married three worldly women. That tells you that mother and father had a strong godly influence on their boys. And these three non-believing women fell in love with these God-fearing men, and their souls were saved. Their grandparents weren't saved. Their uncles and aunts weren't saved. Their brothers and sisters weren't saved. Only they were saved. That's the influence of a godly father and mother. And so they get on the boat. Some say there's 4 to 6 billion people on the planet then. If you just go backwards with the present population and go back that number of years with the genealogies in the Old Testament, maybe 4 billion people. That's a lot of people. But isn't it sad that the animals were smarter than the people? Because the animals came by two and walked on board and got in there, the people just made fun and mocked the whole time. The animals don't want to be connected to you and me. We all evolved from the monkeys. No, we didn't. The monkeys got on the ark. We have nothing to do with them. You know how in school you pull down, the professor pulls down the curtain deal and there's the monkey. Yes, this is you. Started with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. A lightning bolt hit it and it turned into a fish. Ended up on the beach one day and grew four legs. Started walking along, got a little bigger and hair on it, went up a tree. Before you knew it, you're a monkey's uncle. Look at him up there, and that's where you've come from. Well, reverse that and go to monkey school. In monkey school, they pull down the thing, say, that's a man, that's a homo sapien. That's male, that's female. You have no connection with them at all. You don't want to even be related to them. They're dense. They don't even know how to hear God. So Job is a good example for us to follow. So now we know there's a war. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 6, if you would, in the New Testament, please, before we go home here. Ephesians chapter 6. And let's start at verse 18. Finally, my brethren, underline this in your own Bible, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Don't put on some of it, a little of it, or pieces of it. Put on the whole armor of God. But how often, especially in counseling association, or excuse me, in meetings, you learn very quickly over the years that a good majority of the Christians are walking around town without any armor on. They're getting beat up all the time. They wonder why. Because God isn't their focus and they're not trying to protect themselves or the people they love. So he says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the craftiness or the wiles of the devil. That's why you wear the armor of God. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. No, we don't. We just learned from Job, it's a spiritual warfare going on. And everything in the physical realm that man holds on to, Satan just told God, if I take that all away from him, he'll curse you to your face. And he didn't.
We're going to need to pause at this point in our lesson, so plan on tuning in on the Tuesday broadcast of CNV as we conclude our look at calming the storms in our lives. If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the teaching link and then go to the sermon page for not only this series through Mark, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com and look for the Mark 2018 series. As we close our broadcast for today, I'd like to take a moment to remind you that this program only continues to be heard daily on this station due to the support of our listeners. So first and foremost, we covet your prayers for this ministry. And if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, write to us at Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also securely give online at MikeMacIntosh.com. Next time, we'll conclude our message, Calming the Storms in Our Lives, with Mike McIntosh here on CNV. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.